Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 29. The Lord started working with me on this message prior to Pastor O'Brien being here, and I didn't know that's what he was doing. And because he asked me a question, and I'm going to share that question with you in a little bit. And he asked me the question, and I didn't think too much about it at the time. And then after Pastor O'Brien ministered, Monday morning, the Lord asked me that same question. And so it got me to thinking about the topic that we have tonight of give them hope. And part of it also is it's almost like a lot of things were starting to come together. On Monday, a friend of mine from work, where I used to work full time, she had been trying to sit down and talk with me for about a week and a half. And so we finally sat down and talked. I went to the office because she still works there on Monday to, you know, talk to her, find out what was going on. And her brother, he was 43 years old. He passed away about 9 months ago. Now, I knew that. I knew he had passed. And at the time, he had moved back in to his mom and dad's. And his mom and dad are in their late 70s. And so he was really helping them out a whole bunch around the house and doing different things. And so when he died, it was really, really hard on them. And so she was telling me about how different people have been trying to console them over a period of time. Because she said, you know, Barry, it's been 9 months, and I'm just thinking, where has that time gone? And her mom and dad, every morning, they would get up, go to the son's room, and say good morning to him. And then every night, before they go to bed, they go to his room and tell him good night. And so she was saying that there's some friends of their mom and dad were concerned about how they were handling their brother, their son's death. And I told her, I said, there is no right or wrong way to deal with grief. And I said, if that is the way that your mom and dad are dealing with it right now, that's okay. That's okay. Because at some point, it's going to be easier for them not to go into the room every morning, not to go into the room every night. And I said, but as long as that's helping them, let them be helped that way. There's nothing wrong with that. Because I told her, I said, you know, when Candace passed, one of the things that Doris would do, and I don't think I ever shared this, Candace had a perfume so Doris would spray her perfume every once in a while. And so that was a way of reminding us that, you know, Candace had been here. And so I told her, I said, you know, let your mom and dad grieve the way they want to grieve, and that's okay. They will be fine. And then she said, no, now I have a question, Barry. She said, and they're Catholics. And the way she was asking the question, it was as if she wasn't sure that her brother had made it to heaven or not. And so the question she asked, Barry, how am I going to recognize him when I get to heaven? And I looked at her, and I said, it's going to be really, really easy. I said, you see how you look right now? You're going to look the same way in heaven. It's just going to be better. Because you won't have any imperfections. You won't have any blemishes. But you are going to look the same way now, just better. I said, because this body you're wearing is exactly that. It's made to fit you. So if it's fitting you like it's supposed to, then you look like your body. And I said, so when you get to heaven, you will recognize your brother. You will recognize him. That will not be an issue. And she looked at me, and I just see tears coming down her eyes, because maybe she was having some concerns also about whether or not her brother had made it to heaven. And I said that to say this. One of the things that we have to do as sons and daughters of God is give people hope. And that's the title of the message. Give people hope. And give them hope from Scripture, from a background of Scripture. Because so many people, they're Christians or they believe in God, but they still have a lot of questions and a lot of doubts about different things. So it's part of our jobs as sons and daughters to give them hope. To give them hope. In Proverbs 29, verse 19 or verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Okay? Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now notice Scripture says that where there is no vision, the people perish. But if they keep the law, they're happy. So your vision has to be related somehow to the law. In this case, the law of the Spirit of life, that new nature that we have on the inside. Our vision has to be related to that, otherwise we will perish. Now, I don't think it's an accident that 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says that Jesus Christ is our hope. Okay? Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says he is the hope of glory. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says that he is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? Who? Jesus is. Our hope is the author and finisher of our faith. You see that? Cindy, come up here for a minute, please, ma'am. Judy, come up here for a minute, please, ma'am. I want you to stand right here. Faith. And Judy, you stand on this side of the podium. Okay. One of the things I think we forget sometimes is that Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for. Now you notice that faith and hope are two different things. Faith, hope, they are two different things. Now, think about the story of Abraham. At the time, his name was Abram. When God came to him, he says, Abram, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, right? What was God doing with Abraham? Giving him hope, okay? He was giving Abraham hope. You see where faith is, okay? So Abraham did not have the faith that he needed, right? Until the hope was developed in him, okay? So until God could get the hope developed in Abraham, he was not going to get to the faith, okay? When we have an opportunity to help people build their hope, because see, hope is related to your soul. Faith is related to your spirit. But let's think about this for a minute. If you have nothing on the inside of you that faith can add substance to, if there is no hope that faith can do the plus, 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 plus to add, you can't have faith. You got to have the hope first. Okay? So when we help people build the hope on the inside of them, then the faith will come, because the hope has to be there first. Now see, there are several of you in the sound of my voice, you've received a word from the Lord. That word from the Lord was like his word to Abraham, planting that hope in your lives. Okay? Planting that hope. And see, until that hope becomes I like that, Lord. Until that hope becomes three-dimensional in you, you're not going to have the faith to make the hope come to life. Okay? To make the hope come to life. Now, Judy, move over in front of Cindy. Okay. Cindy's is hope. Hope is now in sync with faith. That's when the Bible says the heart. The heart. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about faith and hope being in sync. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So now that hope and faith are in line, we're going to read Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And it talks about abounding in hope. This, ladies and gentlemen, is how you abound in hope. Romans chapter 15. We are living in a time, ladies and gentlemen, when there are so many voices out there that are not voices of peace, that are not voices of comfort. And if we know Jesus like we say we do, we should be those voices of peace, those voices of comfort. Because what's going on around us is not what's really important. It's who we know and what's working on the inside of us. Okay? In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope." 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Jesus is our hope." Are you seeing how the word connects it? Now the God of hope, the first word after that is feel. It's the same word that's used in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "Ye are complete in him." So the God of hope fill you, make you complete. There's nothing else needed. The God of hope fill you. And what is he going to fill you with? All joy and peace. Now notice, ladies and gentlemen, that little bitty word, A-L-L. The God of hope will fill you with all joy and all peace. Not part of it, all of it. And see, when you are walking in the joy and the peace that is available to you because you are a son and daughter, then you are in a place where you can give someone else hope because you are living it. You are living it. The God of hope fill you with all peace, all joy, and peace in believing. If you have a pencil, I want you to circle this word, I-N. Because what it is, I-N is you're in a place. It means you are in a place. And this word believing is the same word that's used as faith. You are in a place of faith. Now, Barry, why are we in a place of faith? Because the God of hope has filled you with joy and peace. That's why you are in a place of believing. Because see, you're living in joy, you are living in peace, so now you are in that place where you can believe. Okay? And then look what else it says. "That ye may abound in hope." Notice that abounding in hope comes after you are in this place of believing that has come about because of the joy and the peace that's operating on the inside of you. Do you see that? That's when you abound in hope. And see, joy and peace, simply it means that, you know what? My Father has said that he's going to take care of me from head to toe. I don't have to worry about my next meal. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to get my, you know, money for the gas for my car. I don't have to worry about my house note. My God is going to take care of all that. So, if my God is going to take care of all that, what a hope I have on the inside of me. Because see, when you come to that place, you know, you see yourself having all your needs met. Because again, you're living in this place of joy and peace. Okay? And when you're living in this place of joy and peace, it says that ye may abound in hope. That word "in" is the same word I had you circle earlier. When you are living in joy and peace, you will abound in this place called hope. And when you abound in the place called hope, then you are going to abound in this faith, in this place called faith. So, what I want you to focus on is this. Before you can really talk about, experience, grab a hold of faith, you have to have the hope on the inside first. And I was thinking about Brother O'Brien when he was here on Sunday. He never really used the word hope. But if you listen to both of his messages, it had hope oozing out of it. Because he didn't give up. He knew what the Word of God said. And he knew that if he did what the Word of God says, then he was going to beat cancer. He didn't beat cancer once, ladies and gentlemen. He beat it twice. That's having hope. That's having it living in you. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I feel. Hope says that my God shall supply all my needs. The question that the Lord asked me before Pastor O'Brien came, and it was the same question that he asked me again after he had gone. The question was, why did Candace die? That was the question. And again, I didn't pay much attention to it when he asked me that prior to Pastor O'Brien coming here. But then when he asked me that on Monday, I was ready to hear the answer. And this is how he put it to me. He says, "Barry, the short answer is this. She had lost all hope that her life would be better. She had lost all hope that her life would be better." And see, when you lose hope, you open the door for the enemy of the soul to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay? Now listen to what the Holy Spirit said about what happens when a person loses hope. He says, imagine a life where you wake up every day in darkness. Imagine a life where every door you open leads to another door, then another door, then another door. You never seem to find a door that opens, that lets you out of the darkness. That's life without hope. There are some of us, in the sound of my voice, we have received a promise from the Lord, a seed that planted for our hope. But it seems like every time we begin to start focusing on that hope, we open that door. But God, I know what you said. I know what you promised. Why is there another door? Then we open that door. And then we open the next door. You see, the enemy of the soul is putting doors in place of your hope. And see, you have to come to the place that, okay, I see a door, but you know what? I know what my God said about the promise to me. I know what he said, okay? And I thought about that because it's happened to me too. Let me share with you a hope, okay, that the Lord gave to me. This is from March 16, 2008. This is from my licensing ceremony when I was licensed here to church. The Lord says, Barry, I have been waiting for decades for the time, for this time to come. He says, Barry, many years ago, your own father spoke my word into your life, but at the time he didn't know it. And because the words that he spoke were my words, it helped sow into you a seed that later became nourished and began to grow. He says, you don't know what those words were, but I do. He says, this has been developing in you. Okay, those words have been developing in you. The hope has been developing in you for a long time. Continue to seek me, and your growth will be accelerated even more. And then he says, I'm going to begin working in you. Here he's planting another seed of hope in Barry. I'm going to begin operating the gifts of the Spirit through you. He says, be bold in me. I will help you avoid pride. Be bold in me, and I will show you how to operate in the boldness of Christ. Now, see, this is 2008, okay? And in 2008, he says, I am going to be operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Healing, prophecy, miracles, okay? 2008. What year is this? 2014. Let me ask you something. How many times do you think that I have opened that door and then I've had to open up another and another and another because I haven't seen those gifts of the Spirit manifesting yet? Can you? And so think about me opening the doors and then the enemy of the soul says, you're never going to get to the door that opens up to those gifts. He's a liar. He's a liar. My point in this is this. All I know is that this is what the Lord said about Barry on March 14, 2008. Now, as I develop that hope in me, you know, just like he told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. Look at the stars. Look at the sand. He told Barry, you're going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. As long as my focus, my soul, because hope is not related to the Spirit, hope is related to me getting on the same page as the Spirit. As long as I continue to focus on this is what the Word says, and I continue to do the other things like praying in tongues, studying the Word, worshiping, doing a little fasting, you probably can't tell right now, but doing a little fasting. As I do those things, then my hope is really going to develop to the point that Barry is going to do those things. I've been doing some of those things, but I want those things that, you know, just like when folks came to Jesus, he healed them. So when folks come to Barry, he heals them. That's what I'm looking for. Okay? And that's what you should look for. That hope abounding in you so that nothing is impossible to you. Nothing is impossible to you. Okay? How do we abound in hope? We abound in hope in one way as we stand before the mirror in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We stand before the mirror and we look at Jesus. And so we take that mirror of Jesus and we go back to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we hold that mirror up before us. Because see, our hope is who? Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. He is our hope. He is the image that we are to build inside of us. And so we can only do that if we look at him. And you can only see him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the more you look at who you are supposed to look like, and the more you start seeing yourself doing what Jesus was doing, that hope is going to be built on the inside of you. It's going to begin to abound inside of you. So that when Sean is walking down the street and his shadow hits someone in a wheelchair, that person in the wheelchair says, "Ooh, what was that?" And he starts wiggling his leg. Huh, haven't been able to do that before. He wiggles his other one. I haven't been able to do that either. And then he gets up. You know, a little bit kind of off balance a little bit at first, but he gets up. All because Sean's shadow hit him. Abounding in hope. Abounding in hope. Lord told me this morning, as I was thinking about the message, that his primary purpose for this message tonight was to talk about hope, have you go home and think about hope. Think about how you have areas in your life where hope needs to be developed so that you can see the manifestation of faith come into existence. I want you to think about the example that I did with Cindy and Judy. And notice you have to start with Cindy before you can get to Judy. But starting with Cindy means you know what the Word of God says. You know what that promise is. But that promise, for some reason or another, is not fully developed in you. And so you want Cindy fully developed in you as hope. Because once that happens, then Judy is going to be right around the corner. Faith is going to be right around the corner waiting. Faith is going to say, "I've been looking for you. I've been waiting for you. I am so glad you are finally here." And then faith walks over, and faith and hope look just alike. Because you are now at that place where the works that I do, ye shall do also. Amen? Amen? Heavenly Father, I just thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for your word. I thank you for the simplicity of that word. And Father, I thank you that down through all the ages, you knew that your word is filled with images, filled with hope about who we are, how we are to live, and how we are to be victorious so that we can bring more brothers and sisters into your kingdom. I thank you, Father, that your word has gone forth. I did the best I could. I just thank you for blessing that word, and I thank you for blessing the hearers, Father. And I thank you that when they go home tonight, you're going to bring to mind hope for them. And they can begin to do those things, praying in the Spirit, reading the Word, confessing the Word, worshiping, fasting, all those things to make that hope three-dimensional so that it comes to life. You are our loving Heavenly Father, and we are so thankful that you loved us so much that you gave us your Son. And Father, when that day comes, I look forward to seeing you and Jesus face to face. Give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.